Okay, well, we're in the middle of this series, only a two-week series, but anyway, the middle of the series, actually the end of the series, of this thing that started last week, which is the series on the second of our kingdom culture values, which is, anybody knows? His word is our foundation. What's the first one? God's presence is our priority. So good. Why not give you some fun facts about this word? This word is the Bible, is the best-selling book of all time. Now, some of you would know all this stuff, but it's fine. I'm just going to say it anyway. 50 copies are sold every minute, 50, with 100 million every year. This thing is not put on any best-selling list anymore because all other books in the world dwarf by the sales of this book. It is also the most stolen book in the world. 5 billion copies have been sold so far around the globe of the Bible, written over 1,500 years with over 40 authors, 66 books, 39 in the Old. You can see actually the difference between Old Covenant, in the Old. Today I need one of those other microphones because I need my hands. But you can see here, this is the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look how big the Old is and how small the New is. Anyway, this is the book. So it's got 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. 80,000 versions have been made globally in 530 languages, but up to 3,000 languages have part of this Bible already. I want to go a little backwards, sorry guys. I'm standing on this ridge. But in this Bible. Now, anybody ever heard about the Wicked Bible? You have? And now in the year 1631, an edition came out of the King James Version. It was named the Wicked Bible because the word not, like not, was omitted from Exodus 20:14 and changed the seventh commandment into thou shalt commit adultery. Now, there's still some versions going around the place, but they took them off the shelf very quickly in those days. Now, the Gideons, my other ministry, the Gideons Ministry Bible, it's not. People ask me, is it my ministry? It's not. But I claim it sometimes. But the thing is, though, do you know that the Gideons people, do you know that they give 1 million Bibles away free every week, which is 2 copies every second? Wow. Isn't it incredible? And the largest Bible factory is, of course, in China, of all places. Isn't it amazing? I mean, there's lots of more. You can go online and find all this stuff. The Bible is completely unique. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, that means the whole Bible, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? It says the whole word is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. The entire book is the Bible, okay? Not just the New Testament, not even the New Covenant. It's the whole book is from the Bible. Amen? It's the Bible, sorry. Right? And we can learn from every book. Correct? Yeah. I like some engagement. Good, correct. That's good. That's good like this. Yeah, thank you, darling. You're my favorite. You're my hero in this thing. But although it is all the Word of God, we got to watch it, how we interpret the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is all written for us, that means like for humanity, but it's not written all to you. It's all for you, but it is not all to you. And this is very, very important in understanding hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is interpreting the Bible. Amen? Yeah. So every Bible, every book in this Bible has got testimonies of God, old and new, testimonies of God, the workings of God, the ways of God, and we can learn from all these things. It's beautiful. Now we have two, like I said before, two testaments in there. One is the Old Testament. It's kind of, this one, Matthew. So Matthew starts here, Malachi here. Malachi. So this is the Old, and that's the New. Right? Now, why is it called testament? The word testament actually means covenant. It means agreement, or you would say contract, but it doesn't really mean contract. But it's like a covenant. Contract is understandable in our day. A contract in this way, a testament in this way. Now, the Old Testament mainly deals with the journey of Israel, the nation of Israel. It deals with, of course, creation. Creation theology. At the end of the service, we're going to promote a next weekend when we don't have prophetic for the 1 week because Catherine is away. We actually have from 4 to 6. We're going to have Gus. He's doing a creation versus evolution seminar. You got to go there. It's next Sunday. We're going to advertise later. But anyway, creation is in this Bible from the beginning. It's in this thing. And you got the Psalms. You got the Proverbs. You got the different things of the Old Testament in this way. The New Testament mainly deals with Jesus. It talks with the church, the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. Amen? So good. So, now, the way God relates to people is through covenants. But not just covenants. He relates to people through... Who's the theologian here? Come on, Josiah. Blood covenants. Thank you very much. It's so good. It's not just a covenant. God deals through blood covenants. It wasn't, if you understand, in the East, that's well, very normal in covenants. Even for God, a marriage is a blood covenant. As the virgin and the male come together, and at the first night they have penetration, I'm sorry about this, and they have this life, that's how you were made. So the thing is, though, then the hymen is penetrated and blood comes. It's a reason for that, because for God, marriage is a covenant. Not just a covenant. It's a blood covenant, and that's why it's so holy, and that's why the enemy hates it. And that's destroy marriages and destroy all this stuff. But it's a blood covenant. It's very, very beautiful. In this Bible are seven blood covenants, seven of them. Three main ones, and they're attached to three dudes, three guys. One is Abraham, one is Moses, and one is Jesus. The first covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. It's a grace covenant. What does a grace covenant mean? It's not a conditional covenant. It means that it was given to Abraham. It was not with Abraham. If you go to Genesis 15, you see the story of this whole thing, that the fire and the broom, the fire and the pillar went through the carcasses, and he was asleep, and God cut covenant with Abraham. Just read it, Genesis 15. Basically, the father and the son, even then, cut this covenant with Abraham, and it was for him, but it was not with him. It was a grace covenant. Then we get to the second covenant, which is the Mosaic or the Old Covenant. This is a conditional covenant because God asked the people, do you want to have a covenant with me? I don't think he wanted this covenant at all. But the people say, no, we can do everything you say, right, in this covenant. We can be partners in this covenant. You keep your part and we keep our part. Big mistake, right? Disaster. Anyway, so what happened was it's a conditional covenant because the covenant was between God and people, which means we are in partners with God. We're not just recipients, but we're actually partners with God. So if we fail, we're in big trouble. And so the whole, you can see the story in the old covenant about the failure of this covenant, which was so bad that God says, man, I'm doing something else in a minute more. And then we come to the third covenant, which is the New covenant in Jesus Christ, right? It's a beautiful covenant. Again, it's a grace covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. Why? Because it is solely based on the performance of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant between the Father and the Son on our behalf, which means it's for us, but not with us. And some of you have never heard this before. It's not with you. He's not in, I used to think all the time, at the end of my master's degree in theology, I got this. Only at the end. So I can imagine that some of us are like, I've never heard about it. Because we think I got to keep to my side of the bargain because we read the old covenant. Right? The old Bible and the old. And we say, man, I got to keep to my side. Wrong covenant. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your behavior, by your performance. It's all about the performance of Jesus. And that's why we love Jesus so much. And that's why we love the cross so much. He is wonderful and worthy of all of our praise. Amen? So good. I'm getting excited about this. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to make sure I don't lose my way. Oh, so, so good. So, all these three covenants, or seven covenants, are cut with who? Yeah, God cut them, but for who? Thank you, for the Jews, for Israel. So the old covenant, Abraham, we'll start the whole thing with Israel. And then we got Moses. And then we got Jesus. All three of them were cut with Israel. All of them. Also the new. What? Yes. But God. You see in the Bible that in Romans 11, you can see all the teaching that also the Gentiles get to be included. And we all say, praise Jesus. But it was not initially cut with us. We've got to be really aware of this. It was always with Israel. And then we get grafted in. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so powerful. And we see this in Romans 11. And then Cornelius is the first one, the first Gentile to come into the understanding, Acts 10, when Peter has this vision of the unclean and the clean. It says, yeah, it's for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. I'm going to have the whole world now in Christ become one in Christ. It says Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Come on, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for all you are now all one in Christ Jesus. And we say, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are included into the new covenant. Now, what are some key learning about this interpretation, understanding hermeneutics of this whole thing? We have to understand that the old covenant, which a lot of the Bible is the old covenant, right, is not with you. It's for you, but not with you. It's for us, because we can learn from it. But the covenant, the relationship, the contract that we have with God is not for, it will never was, and it never will be. It is for you because we can learn, but it's not our covenant. If this is true, which it is, then we have to then, how do we, that determines now how we interpret the Bible. Particularly the Bible before the cross. And so we need to, as new covenant believers, we need to learn that everything theological, every interpretation, hermeneutics, from the old and everything in the Bible has to go through the cross. That means that before Jesus died, which was kind of three quarters throughout the New Testament, not the Old Testament, New Testament, three quarters, up to that time, it was what kind of covenant? Old covenant. Some of you are saying, That means that what Jesus said before he died is old covenant and has to be interpreted through the cross. Very important. Man, I got so confused so many years. I read things about Jesus said, even red letters. I mean, they're holy. But the thing is, though, it doesn't make any sense. Because of what they see, some things that Jesus said before he died, before the cross, makes no sense for you because you see the new covenant, and he's still speaking in the old covenant. He is new himself, but he is working in the old covenant. And say, this is so confusing. Because this is conflicting, because you say you got to do this here, but in the new covenant, I don't see anything in the epistles about this stuff. What's going on? Getting it so far? Yeah. Online, you getting it? Great. Great example is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not called the Lord's Prayer. The translators call it the Lord's Prayer. It can't be the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because it has confession of sin in it. Jesus never sinned. He's holy. He's the Son of God. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It is the disciples' prayer. Yes, it's fine because the disciples are in the old covenant and not yet born again. So they have this whole thing of confessing of sin still because it's the old covenant deal, which we are not invited to at all, right? Now look at this, the prayer for a moment. Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Man, that's a great prayer. That's our prayer too for the new covenant. Go straight through the cross, no problem at all. Give us today our daily bread, straight through the cross, no problem at all. Great, great, great prayer. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. What? We can't pray that prayer. We've been forgiven. Jesus paid the price once for all and forgave the whole world 2,000 years ago. What is going on? We also can't pray this confession of sin part. Because we are forgiven people. Look at the scriptures. I mean, so many scriptures in the New Covenant. Ephesians 4, forgive one another, that's just horizontal, as just as Christ, God in Christ, has forgiven or forgave you. Colossians 3:13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's all in the past. It's all past tense because Jesus gave his life. And this prayer was under the old covenant. It's got to be interpreted through the new, to the cross. I'll tell you first something very important. The cross is the filter. Let's say it together. The cross is the filter for any interpretation, and particularly the Old Covenant, the whole Bible, up to Jesus' death. Okay, so when did the New Covenant start then? Shedding of blood. When did that happen? Yes, but when? What day? Yeah, Good Friday. Bingo. Good Friday. When Jesus says at the end, he says, it is finished. What is finished? Well, that is finished. The old covenant is finished. Now, at every marriage that I do, normally, not always have done, but mostly, is that same word that he say, whatever he says, in the Hebrew, you probably know, right? When he said in Hebrew, that same word can be interpreted, not just finished. He didn't say it is finished. He says finished, one word. Can also be translated as bride. So at the same time that Jesus gave his life in his body, his blood shed for us, the new covenant, bless you, the new covenant started, he bought himself a bride, a spotless bride. How? Because he just gave his life for the sin of the world. So now, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit can come. Why? And live inside of us. What? Sinful people? No. Why not? We've been forgiven. He took the sin of the world upon himself, right? Once for all. He's not going to die again. Am I going to confess my sin? Confess your sin. I'll confess all the way till the kingdom come. It doesn't mean that you have to be forgiven of the sin because you are forgiven. You can confess. I confess my sin all the time to the Lord. I say sorry if I make a mistake. Absolutely. But knowing that I'm completely forgiven. Yeah. It's good to have a good relationship with him. But don't ask for forgiveness because what you're saying to him is you were not enough. All your sins were in the future. He died 2,000 years ago. So all of it was in the future. He's washed it all. I want you to be not excited about who he's made you to be. I want you to get excited about who he is. Because he is just so amazing. He is so loving, so kind, so powerful. Woo, Jesus. So all scripture is God breathed. But it also doesn't mean that everything that Jesus says before the cross in the Gospels, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, is invalid. No, it's not invalid, but it's got to go through the cross. But it's not invalid. Everything Jesus says is amazing. Also, it means the old covenant. Some people want to tear out the old covenant, some grace preachers. What a nonsense. What an abomination. The Bible says every law will stand forever, not even tickle or not pickle, whatever these things are saying. Not a jot, tittle thing will ever fade away. The law is powerful, it's strong, it is God's law, it's God's word, it will never go away. But for us, it has to be interpreted through the cross, and that is so incredibly important. And some things of the kingdom, principles and things, go straight through the cross, no problem at all. A lot of kingdom things go straight through the cross. I'll give some examples in a moment. But some things drastically change. Now, one of the main things that drastically changed is righteousness or holiness or right standing with God or whatever you want to call it. That is the most and one of the most important things that changes at the cross. So I want to make sure, again, that when you get to the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, the Gospels, that everything in the Gospel is not necessarily gospel for you. Yeah. It's got to be interpreted through the cross. I'll tell you something else. I like this what I wrote here. The entire Bible before the cross has to be interpreted through the cross. The entire Bible before the cross has to be interpreted through the cross. This is a very important hermeneutical principle. Everybody say hermeneutical. Well done, hermeneutical. Hermeneutical thing. Okay, what are some obvious changes? I just talked about it before. Forgiveness. obvious change in this way. We are forgiven people. He did it once for all. Hebrews 9. But now, once for all time. Come on, let's say it all together. Once for all time, Jesus has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Sin has been paid for. Sin is no longer the issue in the sense of righteousness with God. But don't be, he still hates sin because sin is missing the mark. Sin mucks people around. Don't sin. Of course don't sin. Don't muck around. Don't do that. But according to righteousness, he's paid for it. We now have the ministry of reconciliation, Paul talks about in Corinthians. That God is not, N-O-T, not counting men's sins again. So stop prophesying these dumb things that some people like a government suddenly allow some kind of dumb law, which is totally ungodly. Don't understand that God's going to curse and smite this nation because of this whole thing. It's not going to happen. Does he like it? Of course he doesn't like it. Do we have to stand up? Of course we're going to stand up. Do we try to get people in there in government to change it? Absolutely. Do we need to pray? Come on, guys. Pray every day. But don't go against the word of God. He paid for it all. Jesus is not going to die again. Now, looking at righteousness, look at holiness in this way, also the same way. In the old covenant, you got to perform to be righteous. You got to keep the law to be righteous in this way. And by keeping the law, do well, you get blessed. And if you don't do well, you get cursed. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Everybody say that. Do good. Thank you. It's all good. In this way. It was always a yo-yo relationship. But don't be fooled. I was watching Moses with Catherine yesterday about the Netflix series on Moses. Anybody see Moses? Those three? Eh? Well, I think it's powerful. I'll tell you why it's so powerful. What I saw, I was just crying at one stage. I can't believe you don't like it, bro. You got to see behind the thing, bro. The thing is, though, with Jesus, when they put the stuff over the doors, you know, that the destroyer came, you know, to destroy all the firstborn, you know, of Pharaoh and a whole gang. And, of course, that's, of course, a contrast to what he did before, you know, the other king did because he smiled all the young, on the young babies, you know, everybody to stop Jesus, you know, being all the stuff, yeah. And the thing is, though, what I saw, though, and in one line in the Bible it says, hey, guys, we can't do anything about this. It's all God's doing. He does it all. Everything that was happening, God was in control. He was doing this thing. It was so powerful. It's not about our performance. It's not about our performance in the new covenant. It's about Jesus' performance. And so we see now in the new covenant that Jesus, he fulfilled the law. How? For righteousness. He fulfilled the law for righteousness because he kept the law perfectly on our behalf. That's why it's called grace. You and I could never keep the law. We could never do it because we'll fail somewhere. That's why the second commandment, the Mosaic, was just a disaster. I don't think God ever wanted it, but the people said, yeah, we can do this. It's just such pride, you know, arrogance of the people in this way. Wow. And now we are in Christ, and we are now innocent. The reason why is now we receive as an inheritance the same as Jesus because he kept the law perfectly. Now on our bio, says Gideon, he kept the law perfectly. How is it possible? It's because I am in Christ. And he did it for me. It's called grace. The only thing we can do is accept it and lean into it and love him in particular, right? Doesn't mean that the law is bad. Some people get a really bad rec about the law. Guys, the law is perfect. The law's not bad at all. But people living under the law, disaster. And so that's why God says in Hebrews 8, you can read the whole thing. And I mean, this normally takes like a whole series to teach about this stuff. But normally you can, Hebrews 8, you talked about that God found fault. He found fault in the new covenant. He found the old covenant. He found fault with this stuff and he brought in the new covenant. And now we live from a completely different place. Very quickly now, very different place. Now, in the Old Testament, it says, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible in the Old Testament? He says, love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's the greatest commandment under the Old Covenant, not New Covenant, Old Covenant. Love the Lord. Sounds amazing, right? The problem is, though, how do you love God enough? So it is always a loving towards God. It's always like a performance. You got to do this thing. It's like a commandment. Now, in the new covenant, we see the opposite. Then we say in Romans 5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Now, in the new covenant, it's a response to his love. Opposite. The old, you got to work hard, love God with all your might, soul, strength. I don't even know what to do. And you see all these people, particularly in Israel, particularly the traditional Jews, are so like, I want everything, all this hair, everything has to do with a little box here. The reason why they do this is because they have to love God with everything. They're so passionate about God to love him. But you can never love him. How are you going to live? How do you know? But in the new covenant, you've been loved by God so much, now he pours his love into your heart, he makes you a son and daughter, and now we yield to the love of God. It's a completely different world. It's a brand new world. It's a brand new world. I tell you, almost everything in the new covenant is because, I'm not done yet, guys, you can come, but I'm not done yet. We started 5 minutes late, so I'm going to have 5 minutes more. So the thing is, though, what happened in the other, so what did I say? You stopped my flow, Sam. What you see, that's very important, guys. What you see in the flow of that the new covenant in Jesus Christ with him, everything has been given to you, it is very much a response. So you go from a performance in the old covenant, which is not your covenant, but you can be fooled to read it that way. That's my covenant. No, no, not your covenant. But what they do is towards it. In the new covenant, it's a yielding, it's a receiving, it's also an obedience thing. Of course you're obedient to the things of God. And that's how you manifest the glory of God in your life. Because you have already been forgiven, you're already innocent, you're a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God. You're amazing. You're amazing. Some things go straight through the cross. Worship. Worship. Worship is hardly anything in the new covenant about worship. Why not? It's all said in the old covenant. That means a whole book there. Psalms. I mean, even the new covenant said nobody can even tip, even close to David. Paul couldn't get close to David in that sense. David's, but he was the only one who was called a man after God's own heart because of his worship. Even in the new covenant, they say, oh, we need to go back to 24/7 worship. We need to, the restoration of the tabernacle of David. That's what they talk about. It's so powerful. There's a couple of things in the new covenant, but everything goes straight through. I mean, some amendments are made in the sense of who you are as a son and those kind of things, right? The same as wisdom learning. The wisdom, Catherine loves the book of wisdom and James and straight through the cross. Prayer principles, a lot of it goes through the cross. But I found that the principles of God, when they are in the old covenant and after throughout the Bible, I find that either things completely stop, like some of the laws like, not blood sacrifice. Yeah, of course they stopped. We talked about that. But the whole thing of dietary things, you know, by the way, I don't think it's bad, by the way, what he said. Can I say this? It's not bad what he said. It's just that it's not for us. And so it can go through. But what you see sometimes is adding. For example, in prayer, what you see in the new covenant is that we are now seated in heavenly places. So, hey, that's a completely different place you're sitting from. The prayers are still beautiful things. But in the new covenant, we are praying from seated with him in heavenly places. That's where you're seated as a son and as a daughter. So start behaving like this in this way. So many principles go straight through the cross. I give a controversial one. I think that tithing goes straight to the Bible. Tithing, giving, tithing, goes straight to the cross. Somebody got really afraid. You can start throwing rotten tomatoes at it. I don't ever give a rip what you do. It changes though because the curse element is no longer there, obviously. But the tithe was always, we talked about before about the giving thing. The tithe was always to resource the house of God, the Levites. They didn't get any land. They got a house, but no land because we're not in the marketplace. They were given land. They were provided for by the tithes of the people. Same in Paul, we see it in Corinthians. I'll teach on it sometime. But in Corinthians, you see the same thing. In the New Covenant, same thing for the church, like for us. People like me paying for me and Catherine and the team and this church. The tithes pay for the church. It's just the principle of God. But the curse is no longer there, though. If you don't do it, you're invited now to do it. It's the principle of God. As a son and a daughter, of course you're going to do this. If you don't, it's just dumb. It's just not even holy. It's not even worshipful. It's not like, why? What are you doing? But of course, it's the blessing still stands. I want to finish with that. I could go on for half an hour, guys, because I got so much to say. I want to talk about this for a moment, about this blessing stuff. You know this Bible, That's what I saw also about this thing. In the blessings of God. Blessings of God. This Bible is full of the blessings of God. And I'm not talking about Old Testament only. It's old and new are blessings. Now the old, the way you got to blessings, do good, get good, do bad, get bad, right? Right? New covenant is different. We are now blessed in every, you can put it on their favor if you want to, that scripture in wherever, somewhere. Ephesians. No, that one. The spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. We are now, it's opposite now, because now we've been given. Every spiritual blessing in Christ has been given to us. So how do we now receive that blessing? It's in our bank account, right? It's heavenly places. How do we get it down to our lives? Not by the old, not by performance. It's not about this anymore. Now, we're on the other side. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So how do we get it into our lives? Come on, David. Totally. It's yielding. It's receiving. It's believing. It's by faith these things come into our lives. We already got them. In the old, say, do you want them? Yeah? Then behave. And when you behave, here we go. Amazing blessing. I mean, Solomon, David, the richest guys that ever lived. They were very prosperous, very blessed by God. But the way you got there, you got to be good. If you don't good, you get cursed. No longer the new covenant. You get blessed. You get blessed. But you got to still yield to the blessing. Otherwise, it's not going to come down, is it? Some people say it's going to happen automatically. What a nonsense. Nothing in life is automatic. It doesn't work that way. It's by intercession. It's by yielding. It's by prayer. It's by faith that all these things come into your lives. And I love this. I'll say one example. It's both in the old and the new. Love, as children, love your mother and your father. It's both in the old covenants, actually part of the Ten Commandments. And it's in the new too, right? So that what? You can live long life. What is that all about? So God is saying, hey, I've got a blessing for you. If you honor your father and your mother, I'm not saying you have to agree with them if they do the dumb things. I'm talking about honoring your father and mother. If you do that, I will then bless you in your life with a long life. It is stuff, and it goes on and on and on. Give and you'll receive. You only receive when you give. So all these things, this is full of the blessings of God, guys. And I want you to get a passion for this word, because this is your foundation. The promises of God and the blessings of God, the principles of God. I tell you, the blessings of God, they are connected to the promises and to the principles of God. And when we start saying yes, Lord, to the principles of God, yes, Lord, in my life, yes, Lord, I will yield, I'll obey, I'll get these things in there, you will find that these blessings will find you in a way that you... I think that a lot of the church is not blessed in that sense because of that we haven't seen the yielding of the things that God has spoken into this word. And in some ways we've been disobedient to. And guys, let's go and yield to everything that God... Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the power of the cross. Father, thank you, Lord, that everything is now filtered through Jesus Christ, because through that, Lord, we received every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we are so grateful for this, Lord. We're so grateful for this, Lord. Oh, our whole lives are changed, Lord. Our identity, Lord, everything is changed. And we bless your holy name for everything you've given to us in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.